Been talking about this authentic Christianity. Yeah, children, you know, we go for your meetings, but authentic Christianity is the real Christianity. The real Christianity. And the part we are talking about today is personal integrity, the inner life. And last week, if you can check it online, preached powerfully on the truth. You know, the pure thought life. That what happens inside determines what you do. You can't shake it if what happens inside. So today I'll be talking about godliness with contentment. And the person that make that statement is Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, his son. Said, godliness with contentment is great gain. We'll look at it later on, in a short while. What is godliness? What is contentment? Godliness is the, you know, how God wants you to be. How God wants you to be. By saving you, equipping you, living a life that pleases God. So that God will say, yes, this is why I sent Jesus. To die for you. It's complete. This is this. This is complete. Complete in this person. That's godliness. Reflecting God. And how can you reflect God? The first thing you have to do, you've got to believe in Jesus Christ. Okay? But let me tell you, even the demons believe. So when you believe in Jesus Christ and you stop there, no way, you are not godly. It doesn't mean you are godly. You believe and then you repent of your sins. The devil can believe, the demons, yes, they know. It's there in the Bible in James. But they cannot repent. Okay? Believe, and then you repent of your sins, asking God to forgive you. Some people say they find it difficult to understand. Let me tell you, the future is not possible without you disturbing the present. And the way you disturb the present is to let go, ask God to forgive you, and then obey Him. Then you are following Him. Then you go into the future. You have to disturb the present. You repent. Ask God to forgive you because Jesus Christ died for you. And then you obey Him. You live a life that obeys Him. Someone asked me a question. What in case I commit, I make a mistake? But I said, look, don't make a habit of it, but confess your sins. And the Bible is there in the Bible, 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, God is faithful and will forgive you your sins and purify you from all unrighteousness. But first, confess. You will confess your sins. Lord, I've made a mistake. He forgives you. He says He will purify you from all unrighteousness, as if you've never done it. As He will purify you. Then you begin live a life of obedience. Now, back to that Bible passage that we started with. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Can you imagine someone resting in the shadow of the Almighty and not being content? Wow. What else are you looking for? When we say the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, you can't get any bigger. If you, contentment means being happy in God. In fact, someone said you cannot separate those two. Godliness and with contentment. You cannot. So you are godly and you are not content. Being happy with your situation. Some people live in perpetual unhappiness. I know of billionaires. Well, I know of a billionaire, right? I know of one that is not happy. He's used all his life pursuing money. Of course, the wife won't see him. The children won't see him. He has a lot of money. He's still pursuing money. I guess some of you are thinking, just give me a little bit from that, I'll be okay. Maybe you are like that, never satisfied. In fact, someone said that blood pressure can be made normal when you give thanks. When I say someone, you are wondering who is the Mayo Clinic in America. One of the things to reduce your stress, they say, practice gratitude. Wow. Being grateful. You don't even know. Yeah, some people always looking for the next thing. I passed my GCSE, this next one. I want to buy a car, you have the car, another car. And they are never satisfied. And what comes, by the time they make the money, you come the big illnesses. They are already there. Not so? Yeah, the big illnesses, you know, is it hypertension, this, that. What? Okay, you are going to die. So all these problems, what has happened? So this person, not close to his children, money is still there. Unfortunately, he's still pursuing money till now. When is he going to live a life of rest? Unfortunately, many people go to church and do that. You are wondering, it's not the person next to you. It's your father and my father. Adam and Eve, the Lord said, have everything, but don't touch this. They were not content. Not so. That's where we came from. Except you are telling me you are an alien from out there. Yes. This is it. They have everything, but this one, don't eat of this tree. That's where we got to where we are. Now that we know, stop pointing to that person. Just check your own. Are you a contented person? It's tied to your salvation. If you are resting, you are dwelling in the shelter of the Most High. You see, we quote big Bible passages. Are you resting? If you are not resting, tell yourself, like the psalmist said, oh, my soul, praise the Lord. You tell yourself, why? What is this? What sort of life am I living? Godliness with contentment is great gain. See, greed is very terrible. It's like a bottomless pit, you know, leading to many types of sinful attitudes, you know, behaviors, anxiety, misery, lack of personal, you know, personal interest. Lack of personal integrity. Because integrity is wholeness. You can't be whole when you are not content. Always looking out. Even poor people. Many poor people, rich people, it doesn't, no matter how much you have, is the state of your heart. Are you content? Are you content? Let's look at the Bible passage. 1 Timothy 6. Three to ten. This is the letter Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Sorry, the battery is playing up. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. For the love of money, it did not say not have for you not to go to work anymore. That love, desire, sleeplessness. God gave me prophetic words when I was a lot younger that there were two doors. Two different people told me. Two doors. Whichever one I took, God will bless me. One was business. I've always wanted to be a businessman, make money, help pastors. I never wanted to be a pastor. Well, 1980, I got, went early in sometime in the 80s, went abroad, bought things, took them, shipped them to Nigeria to sell. I noticed something when I got over there to sell the things, you know, cars, vehicles, fridges and freezers, compressors. I went to bed thinking about money. In the night, I thought about money. I woke up thinking about money. I couldn't pray. I said, what is this? When is it going to sell? Every time it was money. You know what I did? After some days, I left everything. I came back. I told my wife, no. I know the other door. I'm taking the other door. I left everything. Profit, cost, take. You don't know, 24/7 I was thinking about, who's going to sell? How much is the profit? They are not coming yet. When are they going to come? At times when you walk past some stores on the high street and you see nobody in there, the owner is thinking of it. When is the next customer going to come? Yeah, because they are paying the rent, they are ready, they are paying the worker there, there's nobody. Time is going. Yes. They are thinking about, I was thinking about this, I said, wow, no. At least I want to be able to pray to my God. I can't live this type of life. He doesn't talk about money. God said, do my will, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all other things will be added. Apostle Paul, we will see later on, he said, I know how to abound in good things. If you bless me, fine. If you don't bless me, fine. Whichever way, I'm okay. Whether I have or I don't have. Can you say that? This is brother talking to brother. Check yourself. Are you happy? Are you content? If you're not content, who is it, the Creator that is your God? Ask yourself, then slow down. Slow down. See, I need to be, let me follow the Lord. Not ask the Lord to follow me. You follow the Lord. Open your heart to God. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of it. You see, that Bible passage, they read it in funerals. It's not only for funerals, for every day. You brought nothing into the world, and you are taking nothing out of it. Just looking at my news today, the news on the phone, one very famous, one top Indian actress went to, she was 54, she went to a party, a wedding with the daughter. And just collapsed there and died. I don't think she had packed her makeup from her dressing table. Someone else is going to pack the makeup, clear the table. You know how you get ready for weddings? Or do you tidy up? Do you tidy up before you go? No, I understand. I'm not blaming you. Okay? Yes, you make your makeup, you leave everything. It's when you come back, right? That you finished clearing, somebody else is going to clear her makeup. Let us tell ourselves, so if you are not content, what is life? How is it going? Tell yourself, Jesus came to make you happy. Believe in him. Repent of your sins. Believing doesn't cut it if you don't repent. Then you begin to obey him. If you taste the real thing, the fakes, you know, they tell you in the banks, bankers, they say, oh, they know fakes. How do you know fakes? If you handle the real thing all the time, if you see fake, you will know it. That's how they train them. Handle the real thing all the time. Apart from the UV light that you put your money through. But they handle so much money. But they just know, this one is not right. Authentic Christianity. You brought nothing into this world. God has made for you to be happy now. We're talking about the richest man in the world at the point, Howard Hughes. Who had so much money, built the biggest plane. He went somewhere in America. He was staying in the penthouse, in the big hotel. And the hotel people wanted to get him out because they wanted somebody with some Arabs were coming to get more money for that suite. When he heard that, he bought the entire hotel. So they woke up and the person that they were trying to get rid of was their boss. Well, the long and short of it was that he didn't live for too long. He died of kwashiorkor. Children, kwashiorkor is the illness you get when you don't eat, when you starve yourself. He didn't trust anybody. He didn't trust anybody. If you don't trust Teresa in King's Church, you won't have those food. Yes. You won't have when we have nice food out there, you couldn't give him water, couldn't give him food. That food, maybe the person has poisoned it. If you suspect everybody, what sort of life? He died emaciated. Life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's come to give you the life. Are you enjoying that life? We have some biblical examples, I'll be very quick, that we need to follow. And also, I chose two that we need to avoid. The first one, thank God for our men in King's Church and our women as well. We had Men's Day yesterday. It was great. And for those who could not make it, they had genuine reasons, pray against next time. Because the men were okay, but I had to gently tell them that in 30 minutes we'll be rounding up. Because that meant we were enjoying it so much. Thank you very much, all that were able to make it. Examples to follow, Caleb. Caleb in Numbers 13 and 14. Children, you know that story. Adults, we know the story. But Caleb was a godly man. He was consistently faithful to God. He was courageous. He got his inheritance. Praise the Lord. Do you want your inheritance? I want my inheritance. I want the benefit of what Jesus Christ came to do for me. Okay, not just money here. I want to make heaven, enjoy heaven forever. Amen? Am I the only one? No. You want to, that's your inheritance. One day, God himself, it wasn't Moses that sent 12 spies, 12 people to go to the land of Canaan. Read the Bible passage from Numbers 13. God said to Moses, send a leader each from the tribe. It was God that said to Moses. So Moses was just passing the information to go and look at the land I'm going to give you. Not maybe, I'm going to give you that land. God said to Moses. So Moses called them, 12 of them. They went, they saw the people, they saw the land, they saw how it was. Moses said, bring back a fruit. So they brought grapes. Two of them carried one head of grapes. When they got back, they gave their report to the Israelites. They said the land was very good, nice fruits. They saw giants. Giants were there, that they themselves were like grasshoppers to themselves and also to the people. Then they said the people were very strong. That why was it that they want to come and die in this place? That they should appoint somebody to take them back to Egypt. You know what Moses and Aaron did? They fell on the ground. The Bible says the people cried all night. If 4 million people cry all night because of you, you will fall down as well. So Caleb and Joshua, 2 out of 12, said, yes, the land was good. They tore their clothes. Yes, the land was good. That our God is able to give it to us. Only don't displease the Lord. Don't displease the Lord. They have lost. They have no cover. Just don't be fearful of them. Don't displease the Lord. The first thing Caleb said, don't displease God. And God intervened. Soon after, the other 10 were dealt with. Immediately. Read the Bible passage. But God said of Caleb and Joshua, he said, they served him wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Godliness with contentment. Caleb was okay with who he was in the Lord. He knew the secret. Only don't displease the Lord. Don't annoy the Lord. Others just put the Lord below fruit and danger. No. Don't annoy the Lord. Don't forget it was the Lord that divided the sea and the passed through. The Lord had done so many things. There's another case I will describe. You know, because I will talk about Samuel. Let me actually just go into Samuel now, because essentially Caleb was consistently faithful to God. He was courageous. He got his inheritance. At 85, he was still as strong as he was when he was 40. He said, I'm still able to go. Wow. God knew that man. He got his inheritance. Then another person, Samuel. You know the story was called by God. You know, the mother prayed. Mother dedicated him to God. He stayed there. He grew up. God called him. And he went into ministry. He was dedicated to God. He obeyed God. You know, and everything he said came to pass. Samuel did not go dashing from one place to the other. He had a circuit. Because he went from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah. That was the circuit of Samuel. The Bible, all his life, that God, he didn't go outside what God told him to do. That showed contentment. Some people, when the ministry is going well, they say, let me extend. Let me go and tour Asia. Finish Asia, tour Africa, tour this. Did God tell you? Did God say that to you? Stay where God has called. That's contentment. God will bless you there. Imagine me walking ahead of God. I'm in trouble. Where am I going to? If you walk outside what God has asked you to go, to do, you are on your own. There was a time Israel faced a war. They were somewhere and the enemies came. The Amalekites. Samuel said, bring an animal, let's sacrifice to the Lord. The enemies were about to attack, let's sacrifice the animal. He was there dedicating the animal. Enemies were about to attack. God just finished off the enemies. They didn't even need to fight. When God fights for you, you have no problem. So the only thing I need to do is to put myself in that place where God will fight for me. No, it's not rocket science. Don't go looking for, oh, there's peace here, there's peace here. Stay with the peace himself, with God. And you have peace. He will look after you. That war was sorted without, it was only when the enemies were dying that the Israelites that were afraid came out and pursued them and killed them. Before then, they were all in hiding. When you obey God, the anointing of God is all around you. Praise the Lord. Very quickly, I go to, because we have communion, to Paul. Paul, who sought the Lord. Paul, who always gave thanks. Paul, who actually wrote this to Timothy. Look at what he says in Philippians 4. He says, do not be anxious about anything. What's the meaning of anything? Thank you very much. The meaning of anything is anything. Okay? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. At times we just read it quickly. Everything. Have you just lost your job? Everything. Everything. There is one of the languages I speak. They say when a bullet is fired at you and it only removes your cap, give thanks. Don't go and say, look at this. He upset me. He put holes in my cap. No, he wanted to blow your head off. He just missed. Don't start talking about your car. Give thanks. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's Apostle Paul. Also, you see, you know, in Philippians 4, 10, Philippians 4, 10, 13 says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Praise the Lord. I have learned to be, you know, content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. You know, some people say, don't talk about hunger. No, don't talk about the difficulty. No. Give thanks. You know, in Ephesians 5:20, it says, always give thanks to God in everything in the name of Jesus Christ. It also says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I told you before that I was surprised that even medically they say, oh, practice gratitude. It releases stress, isn't it? You don't even just think of what God has done. Think of what God has done. I should be able to point to you and say, come and give a testimony. You are not supposed to be here. It's God's grace. Divine health, provision, protection, direction, the millions of processes going on in your body. Let us give thanks and glorify God and exalt His holy name. There's also just two people. Genesis 4, 1 to 16. The people that we should not be like. Cain, senior brother Cain. the first son of Adam and Eve, Cain. He had a brother called Abel. He had everything. In terms of, they continued, God still blessed them. And then they came to sacrifice to the Lord. He just brought a few things, no problem. His brother brought from the first fruit, mixed into the Lord. It's for the Lord. The Lord owns everything. Okay, it's not as if people are struggling with you on the high street. There was, at this time, there was only these two people. Okay? Not as if you blocked my car. Sam Agenfra blocked my car. No. There were just two people. Okay? You, I'm looking after animals. That's what I do. You have the entire, you just this entire borrow. It's just you. Okay, I go and put my own in Kent, in the end of Kent, that way, or in London. They say they started like that. He came to give thanks to God. Who are you? Imagine that Cain. Who were you going to give the rest? Selfishness was there again. Greed. He just brought a few things. Then the Lord didn't say anything. He was pleased with the sacrifice of Abel. And when he saw that the difference, jealousy came in. He said, let us go. Bro, let's go. Let's go somewhere together. When they went there, he killed his brother. God did not like it. Let us be content and give thanks to God. Amen? What about Judas? Many of you are saying, oh, if the Lord would just, the Lord hasn't spoken to me. If he just appears and comes to see me for 10 minutes, the Lord Jesus coming to see V, just come, knock on her door, say, I'm Jesus. He just came 5 minutes with you, I will see 5 minutes with the other person. Say, that would be enough. God is showing us his power every day. Judas was with Jesus. Judas saw Jesus walk on water. Judas himself performed miracles with the 12. Jesus sent them 2 by 2. Okay? Judas, he went when they were 72, 2 by 2. He performed miracles. Judas saw when Jesus said, go and catch a fish. Bring it. Open it and you'll see a gold coin inside. Use it to pay taxes. Judas saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. Don't be jealous. These are big things. Judas was with the Lord. Judas was given a big post, being the treasurer. He was stealing money. In the end, Judas saw bread being multiplied to feed 5,000. In the end, there's only 30 pieces of silver that he sold Jesus for. Greed. That greed never left him. So when you are dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty, make the thing you want to measure on is where you are dwelling. Make sure, that's what we talk about in that. Make sure your foundation is right. I am dwelling here, Lord. I have no plan B. Judas, the man that paid your food, taxes, looked after you for 3 years, made you a disciple, awaiting apostleship. Others became apostles after Jesus, awaiting apostleship, selling for 30 coins, pieces of silver. You see, this thing can cut anywhere. The poor, the rich, those that come to church, the Christian, anybody. That's why we are talking to ourselves. We're talking to ourselves. We should be careful. We should be careful. What are some signs of lack of contentment? Look at them there. Greed. Just ask yourself. If you talk to yourself, no, you know, don't forget, nobody else can hear you. You just think. Just tell yourself, are you greedy? Selfishness. Ingratitude. More, 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 more. You have not even said thank you. Thank you. Grumbling, stroke rebellion, difficult to please. Feel the world owes you everything. Your parents owe you everything. It's hard. Hurting others, hurting yourself, easily veering away from God's commands, being fearful. These are signs of lack of contentment. You are not a happy person. You can pray, pray, and pray. Look, just apply. It's application now. Just look at it. Someone says, oh, pray about this. Say, come, come, come. This is not prayer. This is counsel. Let's talk. And then they will see. I said, yes. Knowledge, wisdom, it's all answer to prayers. Just speak to yourself. Greed, you know, selfishness, ingratitude. These are various things. These are not exhaustive, but you will know. Why? The Lord has promised you His Holy Spirit. Not just to bless you, to correct you. If the Lord corrects you, praise God. Raise the roof. Give thanks. Because He has corrected you. Because you are His child. How can we develop godliness with contentment? As a roundup now, we talked about this before. Ensure that your faith is in Jesus Christ. Ensure that your faith is in Jesus Christ. The belief that does not repent, or the belief that does not repent, is not right. Even the devils believe. Okay? I said that before. Repent of your sins. That's doing things your way instead of God's way. God, please forgive me. It's your kingdom. Live a life of obedience and always ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask the Lord to help you. He is the helper, He is the comforter. And you are the subject. So just ask Him, Lord, you are the object of His love. So say, Lord, help me. And He will help you. He's same for everybody. Pastor, person, Pope, Christian, not the same. Live a life of obedience and always ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Rhoda talked about that prophetically here. Obedience. 4, give thanks in all things. Give thanks in all things. 5, let God's name be glorified in your life. Let people see and give thanks to God. Seek first the kingdom of God and continue to please Him. There are some secret prayers and some secret answers. I was telling some people, I can maintain the same face. I can be talking to you. At the same time, inside me, I'm equipped to be able to think as well. So inside me, I can say, Lord, this problem, what are you saying about it? The Lord knows I've spoken to Him. He will give me an answer. You can do the same. You can ask, and He will bless you. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Let us pray.